Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. In a film that came out in the 90s, American Beauty, the title itself of the film is an irony because there's not a lot of beauty in the film. And the whole idea of the film is to portray some of the angst latent in American suburban life. And in this scene, we see a couple, Lester and Carolyn, who are unhappy together. There's a lot of tension and animosity. Some of it's passive, some of it's not so passive. Carolyn is a successful realtor, and her belief and her goal is to be as successful as possible. She looks up to Buddy King, the realtor in town. I believe that was his name in the film. And Lester is in a midlife crisis. He is out of work. He has been fired. He is unemployed. He is not in the same place as Carolyn in terms of his upward mobility. So they're having a difficult time connecting. But in this clip that I'm going to invite our tech to queue up, and it's ready to go, they have a moment on the couch. They're married, but it's still a bit steamy for worship. So I'm just going to show the tail end here, where they begin to reconnect. The fire is kindled, and they're going to come together. And then Carolyn notices something, and the moment is lost. Let's watch. Is it possible, I was thinking of this clip and I thought, is it possible that when we define success and happiness as the accumulation of more and more stuff, that sometimes the stuff actually gets in the way and actually causes misery rather than happiness? Jesus, who is always our challenging teacher, has some thoughts about the role of worry in our lives and traveling light through life. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? Why do you worry about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They're not working so hard. They don't toil or spin. Yet I tell you, even King Solomon, the great King Solomon, rich Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these flowers. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, we use it for fuel, we throw it away, we burn it, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, well, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? What model are we going to get? Are we going to get the upgrade on the interior trim? Are we going to get the sitting room, the breakfast nook? Don't worry about that, he says. Strive first for that your heavenly Father knows what you need. The Gentiles strive for these things. Those who don't know God, at least our God, strive for these things. God knows what you need. So strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. So don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring enough worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. So, lots we could talk about here. I want to talk about this passage, do not worry. That's the way the passage starts out. Do not worry. Do not worry about what? Oh, Jesus says, you know, like extras in life, like food, clothing, that kind of stuff. Kind of radical when you think about it, saying, don't worry about your food, don't worry about your clothing. That's kind of radical. Most of us consider those things sort of important. Jesus is not saying, I don't think those things aren't important. He's saying, don't get too fancy about it. Don't let it choke your life. Don't let the worry about how you're going to get those things get in the way of living your life. He points to birds. He says, birds live their lives. The food comes along the way. Flowers grow. Their natural beauty is evident to everyone. Uber-rich King Solomon, super-rich King Solomon, in the top less than 1%, top of the cream of the crop in terms of worldwide wealth, with all his wealth and power, didn't have any beauty or anything fancy enough to rival a simple flower. Okay, So what do we do with this? Is Jesus telling us, sell all you have and wander on the land? I don't know. In some sense, Jesus is an itinerant preacher. Is he telling that to us today? Well, it's interesting. You know, there is this tiny house movement. A lot of people are living off the land, off of solar, and they seem very happy, at least on the reality shows. It sounds interesting to me. I can tell you I don't feel called to do that. And I can tell you my wife certainly doesn't feel called to do that. And I can look at my life and ask, well, what is Jesus driving at? And I can ask for help to apply his words to life today. So this word worry, what is the worry about in this passage? Well, food and clothing. Remember, many of Jesus' hearers in this time and age are poor. They are living week to week. And it was a primitive agricultural society. Basic food and clothing were front burner topics. After all, what if the weather was bad and the crops didn't grow and there was a bad harvest? Food and clothing all of a sudden become pressing issues. And as an aside, I don't want to dismiss that that is still the case. There are thousands and thousands of people in Maryland who are food challenged. So that's a live issue today for many people. And for many others of us, food and clothing might look like a student loan bill, a credit card bill that comes in right after Christmas, that plumbing bill that we had to repair something because a pipe bursts, that thing in our car that broke down that we weren't expecting because magically it was going to go past 200,000 miles without any maintenance, carefree car, right? And all of a sudden, oh my gosh, it has needs. All unexpected medical procedure. These are all kinds of things that in today's day and age can generate worry. College can generate worry. The worry arises when there's a real need, and I don't know how to meet it. That's modern worry. Very real. And I sense that Jesus wants us to be free of the oppression of worry. There's a line in a writing called Sirach. It's accepted by some Christian churches as the Bible. We call it the Apocrypha in the Presbyterian Church, but they're still very valuable writings. And here's what a line in Sirach has to say. Jealousy and anger shorten life, and anxiety brings on old age too soon. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Anxiety brings on old age too soon. Anxiety taxes us. Ages us. How do we avoid it in real life? Well, I think part of it has to do with striving. This word striving is interesting, the way the translators yield this here. Striving, what does that mean? Going after something, going after more and more. Jesus says the Gentiles do that. The people who don't know our God, our great God, they do that because they're worried. It shields them against the harsh reality of existence. So they're striving after things. He says, don't do that. And I think it's safe to say here that if we read between the lines, there's a little bit of keeping up with the Joneses going on in that day as well. It's not too much of a stretch to think that striving had to do with the accumulation of stuff, certainly not on our consumer scale today. But I don't know, stuff sometimes relieves us from a little momentary stress, right? Supposed to make our lives more convenient, easier. I'm talented at sniffing out good stuff. And stuff has a true cost when you think about it. It has more of a cost than the price tag that you pay when you hand over the money and you buy it. Sometimes after I buy something, I think, oh, well, that's over. The research is over. I got what I wanted. That's over. I'll move on to the next thing. But actually, everything that I buy has a cost. I'm going to illustrate this because I have to sell you something here. It's just as an aside. I need to sell you something. It's called the Marvelous Mighty Magic Machine 2. The 2. You may already have the original Marvelous Mighty Magic Machine, but you have to upgrade, and you really need to upgrade now. And the reason you have to upgrade is I purposely left out a feature out of the original one that you absolutely need. So I'm selling it in the 2 version, and you need to get it now. The original machine had magic, but this machine has turbo magic. And you got to have the turbo magic, I'm telling you. It will do all its magic twice as quickly and twice as effectively. So you got to have the 2. Well, you ask, what kind of magic? Well, for one thing, it will make you slimmer. You can build muscle with practically no effort. You don't have to do anything. And automatically, you'll make all good food choices by just sticking them in the blending chamber of the magic machine. Raw spinach, chard, kale will be absolutely sumptuous just coming out of the blender with no sweetener. You won't be able to stop eating it as you're building perfect abs. My brochure my brochure will have before and after. I see some of you already sold. My brochure, I don't have it here. I wish I could show you because it has the people in the before and after pictures. And you'll notice in the after pictures, in addition to their ripped muscles and brand new clothes, that they also have a stylish haircut, teeth whitening, and all of them will have a spray tan. That's the after. That's the after if you've ever seen those brochures. Furthermore, it does slicing, dicing, and chopping, comes standard with every unit, as well as high-speed Wi-Fi. It is BPA-free and has a carbon fiber frame, and it has the faster quadrasonic quantum turbo processor. It has, stick with me here, this is only a half hour long. I mean, that's what infomercials are. They're a half hour long. So you sit there and go, wow, that really is good. Because now I'm going to tell you about the leatherette seating with memory foam. This comes with it. Zero gravity, extended battery life, curated movies, videos, games, and learning experiences, and HD video and audio. In fact, it comes with everything is HD. Everything is HD. I got new glasses recently. I was shopping around for glasses. I wear progressive lenses now, which is kind of like a modern bifocal. And I said, well, tell me about your progressive lens. And the salesperson said, oh, they're HD progressive lenses. So now I don't have 20/20 vision. I have 20/20 HD vision. I always thought you all were good looking, but wow, you are absolutely beautiful. Now, all these features are going to cost you. They are going to cost you. But if we divide it up into a few monthly payments, like $84.96, it's affordable. It's affordable. You can chunk it down. It's easy. Well, you all decided to go ahead and buy it with my extended maintenance plan, of course. I saw you that at the very end. And we made the decision to pull the trigger. We can just taste those raw shard smoothies and how good they're going to taste and notice our already magically tightening abs while we luxuriate in our leatherette and memory foam. We have now arrived. And again, BPA-free, carbon fiber frame, you can't go wrong. This is so good. We're celebrating. Except there's stuff that comes along with stuff when you think about it. Okay, first of all, I got to pay to ship it. You didn't include that. Now I have to have a place to store it. My cupboards, my little cubbies, my corners are already full in my house. I have to have a place to store this thing. And everything I need needs to fit into a different size space. Every square foot in my house needs flooring, heating, cooling, and the like. Paint on the walls. How about this one? Hidden costs. Time and effort to figure out how to use it. How many of you have ever bought an appliance, a car, a computer, whatever, no idea how to use it? Like, you were so excited about all the features. No idea how to use it. We have a lovely thing called an Instant Pot in our coverage. It is the second coming of kitchen appliances. The few times we have used it, it is delicious. And we have no idea how to cook anything in this Instant Pot. Hey, that chicken would be great in the Instant Pot. Okay, well, what button do I press? I have no idea. How long should we cook it? I don't know. But it glows with the myth of the perfect kitchen appliance. Same thing with our super strong blender, commercial grade. I kid you not, a 2-horsepower engine in our blender, and it sounds like it. I almost need, you know, earplugs when we put it on. We are supposed to be able to make soup, our own flour, our own almond butter, and guess what we do? We blend the same stuff in it that we would blend in a $40 blender. We don't know how to use it. There's a hidden cost in that. And then there's maintenance. You didn't read my warranty. Parts are free for a year, but if it breaks, anyone who didn't buy my service plan pays for the labor. Consumables, you have to buy the magic cartridges. I mean, the magic doesn't come out. You have to buy it. You have to buy refills. I'm the only one that sells it. So, you know, $39.99 a month extra, but you need this. And eventually, you have to get rid of it. You have to sell it. And it's not going to be worth very much because the 3 is coming out, and everything is in Ultra HD and 4K. So people are going to want that. All right, so you get where I'm headed with this. We get hooked very easily on all this marketing, and sometimes we get a good product and we enjoy it. And sometimes it's extra that I didn't need. At least that's the case for me. Stewardship is a good word that refers to taking care of something. And sometimes I have so much stuff, I don't have time to take care of all of it. I don't have time to maintain it. I don't have time to clean it. I don't have time to read the instruction manual. Stewardship is a word that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were stewards of the garden, and God said to them, take care of this. Here's the instruction manual. You can maintain it. And by the way, it's doable. It's doable. Everything we own requires some level of stewardship, some level of care. And there's a word for stuff that never receives any stewardship. We call it junk. We call it junk. And I imagine we've all had some junk in our lives at some point. I have a practical suggestion. It seems like a worthy goal, at least for me, to find a few things that I really like and that I have the time and the resources to take care of and focus on those and to keep things simple and manageable so that I'm not generating junk, but I'm traveling light with the things that I really enjoy and that I really need in life. And I can say, thank you, God. I really enjoy this car, this bike, or whatever it is, and I don't need, you know, bunches of them. One is enough, and I'm grateful. Jesus' guidance is actually so wise, as always. He says, put God's kingdom first. He said, if you put God's kingdom first, this body of teaching that I'm offering you folks, if you put that first, you'll know what you need. You won't have to worry. You won't need the magic cartridges subscription, because actually there is no magic. Life is hard. Life is struggle. And if you put God's kingdom first, you'll know what you need to meet that struggle. He says, life is beautiful in itself. Don't let stuff choke it out. Enjoy it for what it is. And he wants to challenge us. Do you have freedom like birds? Are you as free as the birds are? I mean, they're just dumb birds. Are you as free as the birds are? Do you have the spontaneous joy and growth of the flowers of the field? He says, if you don't, you might be missing out. That's how I hear his message today. I was in theological school in my early 20s. Julie and I were married, and just to go was a leap of faith. We didn't have any money. We were in our very early 20s. We decided to move to California and go. My presbytery had sort of encouraged me toward an East Coast Presbyterian school that it would have been very easy for us to attend financially. There would have been all kinds of financial aid, and I don't know why we didn't take that deal now that I'm older. And we wanted to go to California to Fuller Theological Seminary, so we decided to make the move in faith. And after we decided to make that move, an extremely generous scholarship materialized. And we found a reasonable place to live in a beautiful neighborhood in a garage apartment where Julie and I helped take care of the property. And it was not too far from the Rose Bowl. In fact, we would hear concerts going on over there. Lots of students at theological school at seminary were young, and many made sacrifices to be there. There were international students there who had traveled from around the world. And some of them only saw their families once or twice a year. They were that dedicated because they couldn't afford to just fly, take intercontinental flights whenever they wanted to. They had scraped every dime together to get there. But they wanted to study and they wanted to serve God, and that's where they felt called to be. I was in class one day when some friends were talking about a group of guys, some of whom I knew, that were renting a house together in Pasadena. And these guys were worried about an upcoming rent payment. They had scrabbled, you know, kind of gotten everything together that they could, but they were coming up short, and I think maybe a roommate had to leave or something like that, but they had all signed this lease together, and they were short, and the shortage was about, memory serves, $800. We'll just use that figure, $800. And so it was formidable for us at that time as grad students. It sounded like a formidable figure. And they were brainstorming, they were praying about what to do, but they put God's kingdom first. That's why they were there. And then, story went, out of nowhere, a director knocked on their door and asked if he could borrow their house for a day or two to shoot a commercial or a film or something. He was going to shoot something there. And want to guess the amount that he was going to pay them to borrow their house for a couple days? $800. $800. It showed up. Food and clothing may not be our most pressing needs today, but Jesus urges us toward a life of priority, of practicing God's reign, living God's righteousness, and being as free as simple birds and simple flowers, radiating into the world that freedom and that joy without the worry of my monthly payments and being burdened down by that. His dare is that in the process, we might find ourselves traveling light and enjoying our lives in a new way. Let's pray. We're going to do a meditation prayer, and then Elder Michelle will lead us in another prayer in a few moments. So this is more of a meditation. want to invite you to think about whatever. It may not have to do with stuff this morning. I focused on stuff. Jesus says, don't worry about maintaining too much stuff. Don't let it weigh you down. But think about something that is weighing you down this morning. The definition of worry I've offered is, I need to get to point A, from point A to point B, but I don't know how to do it, and I don't have the resources, and I'm worried about it. So think about something in your life like that and lift that up to God. Presence that in your mind. Take a moment, take a breath. Let your shoulders relax. Do you really feel like you're placing your trust in God's hands? If you're creating space in your heart and mind, what word of peace might be coming to you from God? Could you open the ears of your heart and mind to hear a word of peace? Maybe just presence that word peace and replace it in the center of your consciousness and just focus on that peace that comes from God. I invite Elder Michelle to continue in prayer.
Dear God, we thank you that you are a God who cares about our needs. And not just our needs as individuals, you care about our needs as a community. We ask that you might help us to step out in faith. Give us the courage to be bold as we consider how to bring God's message of love to our surrounding area. As we reach out to others, we ask that you might help us to be grounded in your love this week. May we realize the confidence of the children of God as we speak healing words to a broken world. In the name of Christ, saying together, amen.